Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 416, Law-Hating Furries.
Be gay.
Do crimes.
That's what we do around here. This is take two of the recording. That's
yes.
Okay. The first take got eaten and was recorded while we were pretty tired last night. So we're taking a second shot, talk about some of the stuff that happened on Thursday night, which will unfortunately include New Zealand, but we'll get to that in a bit. So, yes, the gay Law-Hating Furries of Texas, specifically
yes.
Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
He has decided that he's going to run, and one of the earliest attack ads, or attack tweets, is some right-wing group calling Beto a law-hating furry because he's dressed up in, like, a Sonic costume from a time his band played in college or something.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, I was going to say it's such a reach, but everything they do is going to be...
It's going to be bad faith, dumb bullshit.
It is.
All across the board. Did we introduce ourselves? I'm Saverin, by the way.
I'm Fuzzwolf. I think we did, but
okay.
We'll fix it in post.
What's really funny, too, is that all the furries, myself included, were like,
fuck yeah.
Because they're like, the law-hating furry wants to legalize drug, tear down border walls, and abolish ICE. And everyone's like, that sounds cool.
Yeah, sign me up.
It's like, if you really would want to do that, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
He better get on that.
Also, people pointed out that his logo looks like the spicy ketchup packets from Whataburger.
Which is a very Texas thing.
Yeah. It's probably good that the other candidates aren't doing Elizabeth Warren. She's from Massachusetts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe she has like a Five Guys logo. Do we have a West Coast person? They have an In-N-Out logo.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody from up north has to be White Castle. All of our, because you know, corporations own our government, so might as well tailor your logo to be your global purpose.
Maybe the Republicans can run under the White Castle banner then and be like, you know, only this is the White Castle.
Or they just look like the Exxon logo at oil and gas companies.
Yeah. Harry Reid, or not Harry, but Mitch McConnell. Standing in the Senate with all the logos,
patches
all of them. Yeah. People say that like it's a joke, but honestly, I think it's like it's time to change some things about the Senate.
They should have NASCAR jackets.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot more visually apparent as to who owns who.
Yeah. Let me know who is buying my senator.
Yeah. That's been sort of the thing in terms of American politics for the last day. Sort of like, oh my God, Beto.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these people trying to do like bad faith. Like, oh, you know, everybody else was searched at least four times if you use this one Google metric of if you search for his entire name, Beto O'Rourke, spelled specifically as it was and not just Beto.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm glad there was somebody out there putting out some of the more real information on it. So.
My parents seemed pretty interested because they already were getting text messages. Because, you know, if you ran Texas, they have a sticker. And there's actually a lot of people here in Texas that still have their Beto stickers. There's still somebody in my parents' neighborhood that has their Beto sign in their yard still.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, fuck you, Ted Cruz.
You just scratch out the for Senate part and put for president instead.
Sure, just get some tape. Just...
Yeah, be like, I'll save myself $12.
Hey.
That, you know, you could just donate instead of having them have to mail you a sign, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, the earliest you really have to start caring is January. Honestly, we need, I don't really think we need that many more people to declare they're interested in running. We need more senators in the Senate.
I don't want a fucking 30-panel thing like the Republicans had in 2016, you know, however many they had a lot,
and it was people that were just ridiculous and out there, not really that much different on the Democrat side. So how was that African-American brain surgeon guy who was talking about how, like, oh, they built the pyramids to...
Oh, he was
brain.
A Republican.
He was a Republican. Yeah,
Dr. Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. And then you had fucking former governor of Texas
Rick Perry,
who said God told him to run. And
both of whom are currently in Trump's cabinet.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, is that Rick Perry has been very quiet and just done his fucking job.
Yeah.
He's not involved himself in any
scandal. I'm honestly impressed. I think
he is probably one of the only people in the cabinet that actually understands the gravity of their job.
Yeah.
As energy secretary, he also is in charge of the nukes.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sort of like, oh, God, I'm in the real shit now, and then just keeps...
He's also someone who is a career politician. I mean, you know, for all of his faults and, we differ wildly on political positions, but, like, he was governor for at least, like, 12 years or something like that, because he took over W's term, and we don't have term limits here, and he ran two or three times himself, and, like, he has a lot of political experience, and so I guess it's not completely unsurprising that he has not been the major center of attention in as the rest of the cabinet is falling apart and people are getting kicked out left and right. And even Ben Carson. I think Ben Carson, didn't he have the scandal where he bought like a $15,000 kitchen table or something like that?
I think it was something like that.
Yeah. But other than that, I hadn't heard much from him lately. You know, like he's kind of keeping his head down.
It's honestly sad, though, that our bar of they're not completely fucking moron and useless is we haven't heard about them in the news recently.
Right. Yeah.
So, there's that.
Yeah.
The state of things and the government is always shitty and bad. You know, the fact that there's maybe one or two competent people in that entire big morass. Because there's also a lot of empty departments, too, that just don't have anybody in charge.
Yep.
And we don't have, like, a bunch of diplomats to various countries and whatnot, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we don't care about those countries.
Yeah.
We don't care about this one.
Very much, unfortunately. Diplomatic corps has been demolished. It's terrible.
I hate that, like, the country I live in is shitting itself and the country I'm from is shitting itself. So, like, Brexit issues are also happening. And so Parliament has voted against everything. They voted against the Prime Minister's plan. They voted against the idea of a hard Brexit, which is Brexiting with nothing.
Where they say, fuck you, we out.
So basically now it's up to the PM, Theresa May, to go to Brussels and beg the EU to give the United Kingdom an extension for them to figure their shit out. And the thing is, it's like all 20-plus member nations would have to agree unanimously to do this. And the other thing I thought is, like, what's in it for them? You know? Like, they can just be like, you know what? Fuck you.
You made this bed, lie in it.
Yeah. And they want to get out before May because May, there's EU parliamentary elections. So if the country is still in the EU, then they'll have to have elections for a minister of the EU parliament.
Which they have the election and they're like, oh, by the way, we're leaving. Well, let's show up, do 5 days of work, bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so who knows what's going to happen there, you know?
The UK has really thrown itself into a dystopia of its own making. Because, I mean, there's all this stuff where they're preparing for food shortages and no deals and hard borders for Northern Ireland.
And worrying about the safety of the Queen.
Yeah, and all this other nonsense. And then, in addition to everything else, they're also going to be, like, blocking porn on their net, which is...
That's the least of their fucking problems.
Oh, it's the least of their fucking worries, but I'm kind of leading this towards a topic.
I mean, at least if you can jerk your cares away, you don't worry about the crashing value of the pound.
I mean, but they're taking away all your value, but you'll get your blue fucking passports, right?
Blue passports.
Yes, they're precious. They...
Tavern, are you in the British economy? Because I'd like to give you a weak pound.
Like, are you just that tired fuzz? I mean, come on.
This is me. This is picture of this English bloke, man. You know, very kind of lame looking.
God. I mean, yeah, that's like, oh, we got to worry about brain drain. We got to worry about food shortages and medicine shortages and the EU being dicks or just being like, oh, yeah, yeah, go have fun. Go have fun. And just watching with binoculars and popcorn.
What is it you say? Cheerio.
Yeah. Why don't you have yourself a cuppa? Oh, wait, that's imported.
God.
Wait, you mean English breakfast tea isn't grown in England? Oh, no.
What about Darjeeling? What kind of word do you think that is? Anyway.
Well, it was also amusing, too, because I saw a video about these vacationers to Spain. British.
Oh, yeah. Going on holiday to Spain is very popular in Britain.
And they're like, but wait, I'll have to get a visa? But that costs money. That's terrible. And then they're talking about how, like, oh, but we might have to stop coming because if we're traveling to another country that doesn't have freedom of movement, our dog would have to go through quarantine. And if we're only going for 2 weeks and the quarantine's three, we can't bring our dog, which means we can't come.
Yeah.
Gosh, maybe you should have thought about some implications.
There's, like the Leave campaign totally should have put out more of that information, I think, during the referendum. Not the Leave campaign, the Remain campaign should have put out more of that type of information. But, like, I don't think everyone really fully knew all of the knock-on effects of doing this. You know, I knew a lot of them. But, like, not even Spain. Spain is a trip. You can't even go to France. France is like a 20-minute drive or something. It's like through the, you go through the tunnel.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to drive. You take the, you take a train.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, well, it's another country now.
Yeah. You're not part of the EU. You are going to pop down to the border at the coast of France to get yourself some sweet baguettes or brioche or something.
Yeah.
You know, you got to worry about that English baking. And they've shot themselves in the foot.
This ain't great for the EU either, because I'm thinking now, I'm like, okay, so Spain's tourism will probably drop. France's tourism will for sure drop. And I imagine like a good deal of their economy and their tourist economy is from Brits coming over. And like, that's why like English is such a, it's a bilingual, trilingual society in so much of Europe where like everyone speaks their native tongue. Most people also speak English. And a good chunk of people also speak a third language of the region.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my friend Khaki knows Dutch. Because he lives in the Netherlands. I know he knows English. I think he also knows German and, like, maybe a bit of Italian or something. Like, just because, like, all these countries are, like stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I know for stuff like Swedish and Finnish, they apparently have very similar root languages. So it's kind of like if you know Swedish, you can almost get by in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's enough of a commonality for them to be like, oh, you're from Sweden. Okay, I can kind of meet you halfway.
Dutch and German are fairly close to them.
Right, well. Yeah. Similar thing. But off topic, but yeah, I'd kind of like to learn a second language at some point, you know?
There's options out there to do it. You know, you'd probably be best served learning, like, French or Spanish.
Why? Because I hate America?
Well,
well, just because we have Paris, Texas, doesn't mean that we have a lot of French-speaking people here.
No, but if you go to Canada, there are people that speak French. You'd probably be better served with Spanish.
Yeah, like, I actually took 2 years of Spanish in high school. And being out here in Texas, like, yeah, that would do. I mean, we're a majority-minority state. There's a lot of Hispanic people, a lot of native Spanish-speaking people. It might actually come in handy.
It is really cute when, like, I do retain a little bit of my Spanish because I grew up on the north side and took, Spanish was, like, one of those core classes that you got with school.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, when a little kid comes up and asks if he can pet Adam in Spanish, I can reply in Spanish.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But my brain only seems to access that when needed.
So oh, okay.
Like, I couldn't recall it directly now, but
right.
If a kid asked me, I'd be like, see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like the government, when it does broad-reaching things like Brexit or stupid things like shutdown, it affects things just in stupid, stupid ways that you wouldn't expect.
The other thing, and I've probably talked about this before, but the whole idea of the referendum is it's fucking dumb. As hell to me, like to leave something like being a member of a 20 plus country union, an international treaty, and massive amounts of trade negotiations and things that are all so tangly and important, and just leaving that up to the public, you know, like I don't know everything about whatever a certain treaty is between this country and another. So I'm like, my job is to pick who, like, as a citizen of a country, my job would be to pick who I think is the most qualified to make those kind of decisions, because I'm not. Because as a regular layperson, you know, most people have their day job and their shit that they're doing and stuff like that. We don't have the time to, like, be experts on all the fucking laws and everything like that. That's what Congress people here and ministers in the UK are supposed to do. So just, hey, guys, do you think we should leave this massive fucking trade union and just leaving that up to the general populace? It really seems like not a good idea to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, democracy, but we know that people in groups are stupid.
Yeah. Like you said, you don't know the details of every little fucking treaty, and neither did they. They just were told things like, oh, we're spending $350 million a week out of the country. Or,
and they were lied to.
Yeah, they were just massively lied to, and they're like, oh, they're going to take your passport books away. And it also points at a lot of, like, millennial apathy towards voting, because, again, the old fuckers screwed it up for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they absolutely,
you know, just
did.
Like they screwed it up here in the U.S. You know, younger people need to get engaged and do politics. You know,
yeah.
Because voting matters. Electoralism ain't going to save us, but you still have to play with the system as it is and vote for the people you think will do the right thing.
Yeah.
And old people are like, well, I don't like them scary brown people, the Italians, being able to cross the border and come and eat our
fish and chips,
broiled pork.
Oh, that sounds good. Sorry, British.
Oh, okay. And cabbage. Don't forget the soggy cabbage.
That's right, yeah.
And biscuits harder than...
Give me my neeps and my tatties. I hadn't tried haggis till I moved here, so...
It's all right.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a tin in the cupboard.
How old is it?
I don't know. We could look, you know. I flip it upside down to look at the expiration date. It explodes from the other side like a fucking potato cannon.
Oh, it looks like this was manufactured in 2000.
No, this actually floated over here on the Mayflower. It was actually made in Scotland.
In Scotland in 1500. Wow. The other thing, like on the porn thing, that was another thing where it was voted on, not by the people, but like by the elected people in
Parliament. Right.
And now, like, that's going to be amusing to see how that even is supposed to work, because you're supposed to, like, pay it to go to it.
Yeah, there's like a porn pass or something.
You buy a porn pass. I'm like, how long does this porn pass last? It's £5. Okay, well, is this like for a day? Does this unblock your internet on a yearly basis? Is this a license to FAP? You know, do the Volcel police come in and scream at you to retain your vital fluids if they catch you masturbating?
Yeah, I just, I can't believe they just, what the fuck, really?
It seems so silly. I mean, it's bad enough when companies like Tumblr do it.
Yeah.
But for a government to be like, nope, in addition to wrecking our economy and weak pound and all this stuff, we're also going to just ban porn.
Mm-hmm.
Pay us $5 to access the porn.
Yeah.
It'll be real interesting to see what happens with sites like FA and E621, et cetera, in the UK. Like, do they qualify? Like, what sort of porn are they going to cover?
Yeah, yeah.
Will all the furries be like, oh God, I cannot access E621 or FA?
Or all the other people be like, oh God, I can only access E621 and FA.
You know, suddenly the UK is extremely furry. Oh no!
Mm-hmm.
Nigel with his fucking snaggletooth sheep persona. It's all a bunch of sheep, maybe a couple goats. Horse or two. They because of Brexit, they're limited to only animals that are in the UK. hedgehogs, foxes, sheep, Highland ram, various fish.
Highland cattle, they're those big fluffy coos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Their persona options are not too limited. Dragons are right out because, you know.
But unicorns are in. That's the Scottish national animal.
Oh. Well,
so, but it's IP blocked. It's only available in Scotland.
Yeah.
The English, they can't have our unicorn.
If your persona is a Scottish unicorn and you leave Scotland, you just become a Twitter egg until you pick a different one. Your persona gets disabled.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't disable my persona.
No, sorry, you're in the wrong geoblock.
Dude, there was, so going way back to the 90s, when I was in the Ware community, because Therian hadn't been invented yet, there was actually, like, a big argument on the news group about how, like, people that had, like, a Ware spirituality, right, where they were like, you know, I have the soul of a wolf or whatever, but people tried to start up a thing where it was like, it doesn't make sense that you're X animal because all your ancestry is from X area of the world. So you can't have the soul of a polar bear if you're European because there are no polar bears in Europe. And like, people were trying to basically geolock spirituality.
That's pretty special.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that those kind of arguments still happen today, but it's been going on forever. Because, I mean, the 90s was 500 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. As we know.
We're just brains in jars now. So the other thing on the porn block, too, is, you know, that everyone has to deal with is the Tumblr porn ban. We're 3 months out from it at this point, and now we've finally gotten to see the impact. This is an article from peaknews.co.uk that their monthly engagements are down by like 150 million, and about 20 to 25% of the users have just stopped using the site entirely.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, everyone was like, oh god, this is going to cause a huge drop of traffic on the site. 20% is pretty big, especially when you've got... The whole reason they tried to do it was that, oh, we're going to try to sell more ads. Well, their advertisers now see that, oh no, there's been this 20% drop of users and 150 million less site views. So why should we buy ads on your website again?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I've been going back through and I still haven't finished sorting all my Tumblr downloads. When I was like using Tumblr 3 to download all the porn blogs and whatnot. And I'm finding a lot of cute old stuff and then some other stuff where it's like, why is this here? Because when I was using Tumblr 3 to pull everything down, it pulls down all the images. And so you have like a billion different Patreon banners and a billion different like meme images. Like,
right,
I was really just trying to save all the art. So I just scroll all the way down and just delete things as I work my way up. It works well.
One thing I've actually been trying to organize is my pictures on my iPhone and messing with iCloud. Because, like, every time I just save a meme image so that I can, like, tweet it or resend it to a Telegram or something like that. Like, so I have real photographs of actual important events in my life, and then I have like screen caps that get saved to the photos directory, and then meme images. So like, I'm trying to go through and organize all those and like move a bunch of shit out of my photo stream into like my Dropbox instead and stuff like that.
My photos are primarily pictures of Adam at any given time. I basically take pictures of him and, like, stuff outdoors. So my phone, as it stands, is largely pictures of Adam being cute and or small. Like, last night, as I was going to bed, he decided to carry his rope bone into the closet and lay down with it. And he was watching me, like, all right, we're going to bed? I can bring my rope bone to bed, right?
So, like, when you take a screen cap or save a meme or something, I mean, it goes into Photos, right? Do you just automatically go back in, delete it, or move it, or something?
When I, like, I don't really keep meme images or whatever around. I don't keep furry porn on my phone. I basically just use them and toss them. If I can, I just copy them and, like, okay, I've got this picture from San Picos of more kind of short stack chunky girl Isabel on
right.
my phone for some reason. Because I was trying to use it. Like, does this work as a wallpaper?
Like, right.
Eh, not really. Though I really like it. It's cute. They did another one that they posted, like, the sketch to their Twitter. I'm looking forward to seeing that finished product. But
I guess I'm just asking how you handle your file management on an iPhone.
On my iPhone, I just delete things after I send them, if I save the file, or largely I throw them into Telegram. So, like, if I'm sending an image into Telegram, I can just re-download it on my PC later.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, if I throw an image into the Southpaws fan chat, then I can just drag it down later, or like, oh, this is an image that I think's hot and people appreciate. I copy it, send it, and don't have to think about it again. Because I figure people are going to see it and be happy or just ignore it.
Right. So Ajax sent me a link. There's 18 people currently running in 2020. Two of them are Republicans because there is somebody actually running against Trump. I'm assuming that he won't get anywhere. William F. Weld, former governor of Massachusetts. I hope to see the Republican Party assume once again the mantle of being the party of Lincoln. So he's exploring a primary challenge to Trump. I doubt that'll go anywhere, but you never know. But yeah, there's a bunch of people. at the moment.
And I couldn't tell you, like, most of them at this point. Like, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Beto, Kathleen Gillibrand.
Mm-hmm. You're 4 for 4 so far.
Seth and Yang.
Yep, Yang.
Yeah, I'm kind of drawing a blank. Like, I only know some of them because, like, I think Kathleen Gillibrand is in the news because she's, like, really abusive to her staff. Sucks. And like, Yang because...
I have not heard of him.
He's, like, a UBI proponent, but he's a tech bro. So he's like, oh, everybody gets $1,000 a month, which just, without any sort of, like, protections for it, just means, oh, your rent's going to go up $500 and your health insurance will go up $3.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of shit.
I hadn't heard of him. There's a couple big ones that you missed. I'll give you a hint. She's a cop.
Oh, Kamala Harris.
Right. And Cory Booker.
Yeah. A cop, but in a different way, I think.
And I'm literally looking at the list, and there's, like, I recognize some of these names, but, like, Buttigieg, I don't know who that is, Castro, Delaney, Gabbard, Hickenlooper I've heard of, Inslee I've heard of. Did you say Amy Klobuchar?
Nope.
Okay, she's running. Woman named Williamson. I don't know who that is. And then those are the ones that are currently running. And then there's likely to run and might run. And I'm actually going to go ahead and forward this link to you so you can put it in the show notes. It seems like a
relevant discussion point.
Yeah, a good reason to keep up to date on it. So we talked about this off air, but tell me about this furry show that is coming to Netflix in October.
Okay, it is called Beastars. It is a CG animated show based on a manga from Japan that is basically a furry. All the characters are furries, and it's like a school drama.
And you know, you say CG animated, and like whenever someone says CG animated, I think of like Toy Story or something. But this is like the kind of CG animation that looks more like 2D animation.
Well, what's nice is that the studio that did this also did Land of the Lustrous, which was a CG show that had an interesting conceit a few years ago. And so they're really good at like the soft shaded CG. It's not going to be full FPS. It's going to be like 12, 15 FPS. It's limited animation because that became the standard in Japan, even though you can totally do 30 frame. Then again, that also takes a lot more time, and a lot of shows are produced week to week and not in batches. So they're really good at what they do in terms of CG, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's apparently kind of a hard-bitten school drama or drama of some sort, and like they fight each other and whatnot. So it's not like everybody's fluffy buffy ooh, but it looks like it's a legit ass furry show where the characters are like they're furries that's on Netflix in October.
Okay.
I think it's really cool. Like, people have been talking about this for a while, and there's now some preview shots, and it looks like there's a bunny girl, and she looks very cross, and there's a sad wolf boy. I'm assuming they're a boy. I don't know. They don't have, like, he doesn't have tits, so I'm assuming, which you shouldn't do, but, you know, he looks like he's sad.
Yeah.
He's on the bench. Like, if they do any sort of preview, that will be cool. It's not, like, a super furry thing in terms of, like, how we would conceive of a furry thing, but it's using anthro characters.
Yeah.
So, that seems like it will be cool. The other thing is we went and saw Captain Marvel last week.
Yes, we did.
And our masculinity has been completely destroyed, and we are now both gay. This will be big news to our relative spouses.
No, not my 0.5... heteroness has gone away.
My bisexuality has been destroyed. No, not really. So, yeah. I enjoyed it. It was a perfectly acceptable Marvel origin film. Just covers Captain Marvel's, Claire Danvers, I think the name was?
Carol Danvers.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
Adventures from, like, it kind of starts in media res, and then they cover her backstory a bit, and then there's a mystery on Earth set in the 90s.
Yeah.
So you got young Nick Fury, young Agent Coulson, and her dressing up like a grunge kid, a quote-unquote disaffected niece in one part. So it is cool to see them kind of tying things together. It shows Nick Fury getting the idea for what would become the Avengers Initiative, but it also kind of indicates that it took him nearly 20 years to get it off the ground.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Because they're like, this wild-ass shit happened back in 95, that's when it's set.
Yeah.
And it took them this long to find other supers
that
would qualify for the Avengers Initiative. But yeah, the CG's really good. The visuals are really cool.
You know, it took him 13 years.
Yeah.
Because Iron Man came out in 08.
Okay, so it took 13 years.
Yeah.
Which, that's cool.
And that's saying that Iron Man takes place in 08. I mean,
that's assuming.
Yeah.
But
I'm assuming that that time scale is going to be a bit wibbly, you know, especially when you have, like, sequels that are right after each other in some cases.
Plus, also, you have the whole thing is, like, government does move pretty slow.
Right, so yeah. So, yeah.
Taking 13 years is probably fairly realistic.
And you think about it, and it's like, I mean, his idea was, like, we should find superpowered people to be on our side, because we might need some help in the future.
Yeah.
But like Tony would have been a lot younger
mm-hmm.
at the time that took place. And like, so his inventions and the level of technology would have taken a while for Iron Man to actually be something that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and cause it's not like they have mutants. They've been able to work into the plot.
Yeah.
Until
the
now.
Mutants would have been around and doing shit, but they're far lower powered in a lot of ways, depending.
Mm-hmm.
The mutants you see in the X-Men are the ones that have the strong beneficial powers and not like my skin smells like tacos.
Amazing mutant power.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
can induce hunger in everyone around me.
I mean, there's an old Wolverine comic that's like this child mutant power awaits when he's like 13, and his mutant power is that he like exudes this cloud of acid that kills everyone within a mile of him.
Oh,
and it requires Logan to basically go kill him.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, it's a short comic. It's like a one shot where it's like not every mutant power is great, and he's like,
yeah.
his power wakes up and everybody's missing in his town, and then he figures out that, oh my god, I've just killed everybody.
Not exactly like that, but there was a dude sort of similar in The Gifted, where have you watched it all or did you drop?
We dropped it after the season one.
Oh, okay. Well, at a later point, there is a guy who basically he secretes acid. Like, he has, like, a fine layer of acid on his skin that doesn't hurt him at all times. The only problem is he gets shot, and they need to get the bullet out. But Lori is the mom.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember. I think it's Lori.
Okay,
her scalpels melt every time, like, she tries to
pull it out.
Like, well, actually, no, it's not the scalpel that melts. It's that she can't touch his skin even with surgical gloves because the acid reaches right through the latex. So it requires John Thunderbird to hold him down with his bare hands because he's much more durable.
Uh-huh.
It's still slowly burning him, and he has to basically dig the bullet out of this dude.
Oh, man.
And, like, there's, like, nothing they can... If they put an IV in, the IV tube will melt, you know? He ends up dying because there's basically nothing that they can do for him, and it really sucks, and like it really takes a toll on Thunderbird, because like he was fighting to save this dude's life and everything, and like his palms get all burned. He heals pretty quickly, but
yeah,
he's not like Wolverine invulnerable, but he takes like 3 or 4 shotgun rounds to the chest at one scene, and he's hurt, but he gets better.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, a normal person would just be fucking Swiss cheese. But anyway, mutants.
Yeah, mutants, their powers are sometimes a lot more sucky than the supers you see in
like,
Marvel movies.
Like, Jubilee. I don't know if they ever actually improved her powers in the comic. Or
she became a vampire at one point.
Fucking comics, man.
Yeah. But her, like, flashbangs. I think she did like level up. She was like throwing little explosions. So
right.
Was, like,
yeah. If Jubilee's powers is throwing little bombs that explode in your face, then that's a different story. But I know when she's first introduced, she's basically just a sparkler.
Yeah. But Captain Marvel is one of those characters that is super, super, super high powerful.
Yeah.
Especially once she basically goes Super Saiyan.
Oh, have you seen the latest trailer for Avengers?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. I don't want to spoil it for you because there's an interaction between two characters that's just chef kiss and just...
Okay.
It's very cool. And I'm still such a nerd for this shit. Like, when that Avengers theme comes on at the end of the logo, I get chills.
God. You consumerist whore.
I know.
We'll watch it after we're done recording this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because media does matter, and the media you're consuming and putting in your life totally does matter.
Yeah.
And things like Marvel movies are nice and innocuous. Like, everyone's like, oh, this movie is gonna ruin the MCU, or it's gonna be the bomb, or it's gonna be just the absolute worst. People that say that, the people that put that media out onto YouTube, they're full of shit.
Yeah.
For all the noise that these guys were throwing towards the MCU, and actually there's something else that relates to dudes on the internet spouting noise.
Uh-huh.
With James Gunn being reinstated.
I heard about that like an hour ago. Yeah. Like Ajax came in and told me, and I was like, holy shit.
So all these YouTubers are like, Brie Larson's gonna destroy the MCU. And this movie is right up there with like the opening weekend of Dark Knight and Rogue One and the Hunger Games movies. Like, it's
yeah,
very strong opening.
Yeah. And some of the headlines I was seeing about it was basically like, for all the yelling and screaming on the internet, just know that ultimately doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, all these goobers that they spend all this time being hateful to over movies or comics or anything, it's just like they're screaming into the void. They have their audiences, which those people suck, but
yeah,
their actual impact on the average person is minimal.
It really is.
The only people that really know about it are people that are terminally online, like
you. yeah,
I have a lot of those dudes blocked, and so I see it sometime. Matt Myers, he'll retweet somebody who's like being constantly harassed by these comic dorks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I do see, like, I know of some of these people in that, like, oh, okay, I know who this person is now. Block, because it doesn't matter. They don't matter. I'm not gonna look at their shit, and I don't ever want to possibly poison my YouTube by having their shit show up in my notification.
Yeah.
Or you're recommended. Oh, you watched this video by ContraPoints about dark humor and using it to cope with depression in the world full of transphobia. Would you also like to learn about the Jewish question? Absolutely not, YouTube.
Oh, good God.
So, the movie was good. The haters on the internet only seem to have pushed the interest in the movie forward. It's a perfectly serviceable intro film, and if they do a second Captain Marvel film, they can do more with her character.
I hope they do, because this was a good intro film, which, frankly, I think Captain Marvel is a character needed in an origin story movie, because a lot of people that are casual comic fans are not familiar with her.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't really familiar with her. I wasn't really familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Uh-huh.
You know? I didn't know Tony Stark's full origin story, but I kind of knew who Iron Man was. I knew who Captain America was. And I knew who the Hulk was. But that was about it. So having a proper origin story, I think, was very important for this character. Next, she'll show up in Endgame, and she'll have a part to play in that. But
Guardians 3.
That movie is not going to be a focus on any individual character.
No,
it's an ensemble film.
The wrap up of the entire Marvel Phase 2 stuff.
Right.
And Phase 3 started with, I think, Captain Marvel.
So what I'm really hoping is that there's a Captain Marvel 2 where we get into, like, who she really is as a person now that she knows the full extent of her powers, now that she's starting to kind of master them. And you can tell a more individual story for her that's not an origin story.
Or the how she does the things she does at the end of the movie.
Right.
Because there is a time skip in the post-credit scenes to the modern day,
mm-hmm,
when the movie was set in 95.
Right, so, yeah. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if they do Captain Marvel 2, whether it'll take place between 1995 and Endgame, or whether it'll take place post-Endgame.
Yeah.
I think they might be very tempted to go post-Endgame because it takes the universe forward.
Yeah.
And people always want to know what happened next, not what happened then. Mm-hmm. Although I really love this one taking place in the 90s because for people in my generation, it is such a fucking nostalgia trip. You know, she crash lands in a Blockbuster video. All the music is 90s music, kind of like they do for the 90s what Guardians of the Galaxy does for the 70s, 80s music.
Yeah, and the like VHS tapes that you saw in the scene is like fucking Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a True Lies display. I
remember that film. God. It was so bad. It was just a Schwarzenegger 90s action flick.
Yeah.
But that was good. Ignore the haters, see the movie. Or don't. You don't have to. If you like superhero movies, you'll probably like this.
Yeah.
But the other cool thing that happened today that we didn't get to talk about last time because it hadn't happened yet was that James Gunn was reinstated as a director writer for Guardians 3.
Yeah.
because he had been right-wing smeared by some dipshits to the point that Disney dropped them. And then he's like, well, y'all suck. Now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do Brightburn and Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
And then Disney's like, no, baby, come back.
I wonder what the reasoning was or what the internal politics were of all that. Like, I wonder maybe their initial reaction was, oh, shit, people are mad on the internet. This is a publicity thing. We have to take action now without researching anything, and they fired him.
Yeah, because the dude that was throwing shit at him, Cernovich, like, they were making... Yeah, he made some shitty jokes back in, like, the early 2000s on Twitter.com.
Mm-hmm.
But this other guy is defending fucking pedophiles now. So, like, the guy making the accusations was far dirtier than this other guy, but they were just trying to dig and get him. And they did for a bit, which basically only resulted in him directing 3 movies as opposed to 1.
Right. And I think it thanks in no small part to the Guardians cast.
Yeah.
Had all signed a letter to the Disney CEO, basically led by Dave Bautista, plays Drax, as being like, no, this is bullshit. You need to bring him back.
He's a pretty good dude.
Dave Bautista, yeah.
Which is nice. You don't have to worry about too much about him, I don't think. He seems pretty good.
He was really good in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
And I saw him in something recently out of makeup, and I cannot fucking remember what it was. He just showed up in another movie I watched. I was like, that dude's from the, wait a minute, you know?
He's
and yeah. Perfect. So I think it's really cool that, like, he's getting more acting gigs. Like, and people were talking about, like Drax was a good first role for him outside of the wrestling, because Drax doesn't really say too much, and he's very emotionally level. But then, like, some of the other stuff I'm seeing him in, like, you kind of start to see his range. And it's like, okay, yeah, this guy's a good actor.
He's 50.
He does not look 50.
He can still break us both in half.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, I've seen him outside of the Drax makeup, and even then, he does not look 50.
He still wrestles occasionally, apparently. From 2012 to 2010, he worked under Bautista. He began acting in 2006. He was Inspector Blade Runner 2049, several direct video films. So that's cool.
Yeah, he's a good shit.
Yeah. So the other thing that's been... So now I kind of get to the shitty part about, like, bad actors and the like. So last night while we were recording, we first got the news of the terrorism in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe skip ahead 10 minutes if you don't want to hear us talking about this. So it boils down to, this is the internet, it's just a meme, bro, coming home to roost. This is 4chan and the YouTube's right wing and people of that ilk poisoning people enough that they become old enough to actually pull the trigger on their violent fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was somebody who was inspired by the Great Replacement Theory. That, oh my god, these immigrants are coming in this particular
case. Is that the origin of the whole we will not be replaced thing?
Mm. It's some bullshit idea. The idea is like the idea of white genocide, which only means that, oh no, these other people have a higher birth rate than us, that, oh no, we are being replaced, and that's specifically why their chance of, you know, you will not replace us, / you will not replace us, is basically them saying, no, we must fucking make more white babies, when they're just saying, like, these people from other countries have a higher birth rate. So that's the whole, the great replacement thing is that, and this is incredibly anti-Semitic, and just, of course, the theory, I'm giant doing quote
here,
is that somehow, for some reason, this giant, the ghostly cable of Jews that control the world are importing Muslim peoples into white nations so that they'll be outbred, and then whites will be destroyed. And in New Zealand, Muslims are 1% of the population.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a lot of people of color, period, in New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, short of Maori people.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, and the guy that did the really heinous shit, like, he's from Australia, and he still had managed to get these guns, and decided that he was going to come and just blow these people away during church, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Friday prayers, they're just praying, and motherfucker shows up, guns down, a shitload of people. That second terrorist attack, same group, like, affiliated with them. Mm-hmm. Again, does another one. Like, 49 people are dead because of these people that were radicalized by the internet.
Yeah.
And they posted shit to... They fucking live-streamed this.
Yeah.
They live-streamed it in first person like it was a fucking video game.
Mm-hmm.
And they just massacre all these people. Like, he streamed for about 20 minutes. And it was all out there. And unfortunately, there's people out there on Twitter and Facebook that are trying to spread the video around as far as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I made this a tweet last night. Like, in the interest of your eyes and mind, this hell site, go to your settings and turn off video autoplay.
Yeah.
Which is actually really easy to do. You just go to your settings on Twitter, on the website, and you can click off autoplay there, or it'll be in one of your accessibility settings on clients,
mm-hmm.
under data management or accessibility, depending. Some very helpful people replied to my tweet also saying, under Android, you can do it here. Under mobile, you can do it here.
Right.
So that was nice.
Good, good.
And the thing is, like, this person wrote all this shit on his magazines, on his gun. He had a fucking Black Sun patch on his jacket. He was kitted up for a war against these defenseless people that were just there to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff he's fucking spouting, you know, he throws out the line, and remember, lads, subscribe to PewDiePie, which has caused the internet to shit itself.
Mm-hmm.
PewDiePie sucks ass. He's a gateway to the alt-right. He's platformed a lot of those same people and follows mm-hmm. a lot of alt-right people. And, like, everyone jumping to his defense is blind or are just liars.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter that PewDiePie is not running out there spouting his rhetoric, like, directly. He just has to provide the foot in the door. All you need to do to see this is just, like, go to YouTube in an incognito tab and watch a video of his and see what's recommended. And it's highly dependent on if it's on a fresh PC or a fresh incognito window that's supposed to not access any of your cookies. You'll see where YouTube will send you if you go down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's going to get the same thing, but odds are it's not going to be nice. You're going to be going down some dark holes pretty quick.
Yeah, it's, you know, super fucked up.
And PewDiePie is just one segment. Because, I mean, this guy's got 90 million subs.
Mm-hmm.
His reach is... He is as mainstream as anything on YouTube can be.
Yeah.
So, like, when he says dumb shit, children from, you know, 12 to 20, and then adults, too, who grew up watching him, are going to be influenced. This kid's 29, and he's out there promoting white supremacy and bullshit like that. Even if he's not directly saying it, he's providing platforms for people that do. And it's not just YouTube. You know, it is websites like 4chan and 8chan. We got to talk about a little bit about them being a really shitty site when THQ Nordic did their AMA.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
People were like, what the fuck? And then they had to realize, oh no, this is a den of pedophiles.
Yeah.
And then it's not a surprise at all that you have their politics board, their Nazi politics board, essentially. And that's just the politics board. It's not like, oh, this is their specific Nazi one. No, this is just their politics board cheering along as they watch the live stream of this guy murdering people.
Jesus.
It's ultra fucked.
Yeah, it really is.
It's really upsetting, too. It's like, you know, we ask ourselves, how do we fucking get here? You know, we teach people that internet's not real life. Well, unfortunately, it fucking is. And the stuff that's said on the internet only emboldens you to do stuff in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're all day, every day, talking slurs about other religious people or minorities or queer people or trans people, you are very highly likely going to do something stupid similar in real life at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are online is a reflection of you. And this was literally someone who got radicalized by chans and YouTube and was only encouraged by his friends in Telegram or Discord chats or whatever, and eventually decided to cross that line. And unfortunately, instead of crossing the line and just screaming slurs at somebody on the street, he decided to participate in a terrorist attack that murdered 49 people. You know, we do have to determine, like, as individuals, unfortunately, there's not a lot that we can do on the grand scale. But we do need to be willing to speak out against people essentially putting the foot into radicalization in mm-hmm. our spaces. You know, we as furries do have a lot we can say within our furry circles because, you know, it's one of the things we discuss it in, like, the South Pulse fan chat is pretty heavily moderated. People are generally on the same page.
Yeah.
And, you know, if someone was to come in spouting shit, I'd kick them to the curb real fast.
Yeah.
And we don't broker this centrist bullshit. But, you know, you have sometimes these people in other chats that are not as strongly moderated, these people that want to be centrist and, oh, both sides. We really have to stomp on that. Like, we have to find a way to push back against it, because there is, yes, there are technically two sides and that there are two sides, but there is only one side that is caging children and participating in, you know, racist riots in the street and massacring people in synagogues and churches and mosques.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt there's this artist who I've seen their art and been really cute, and I was really disappointed with their Ultra Milk Toast middle of the road. Like, I just want everything to be nice. Well, not everything is nice, honey.
Who was this? Oh, is this on YouTube?
No, it was on Twitter. But
Twitter, sorry.
I don't want to, like, put him on blast or anything, but I'm just if you stand in the middle of the road, you get run over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, I didn't want to be mean. They have cute art, but it's like, look, if you do this, oh, I just hate all this conflict, I just want it to stop. Well, you have to take concrete action for it to stop. And that doesn't mean appeasing these fuckers and letting them run roughshod over other people.
Yeah.
And if you claim to be queer, then these people should not be your friends. I saw a person today, it's like, oh, I'm a trans queer libertarian. I'm like, what?
Ugh.
Those snake boys will kill you. Given the chance. And if that's inflammatory, well, guess what? It's me, motherfuckers. You have to basically be able to take a stand and try to weed this stuff out. There's no good faith here. You have to take these people at their words. It's not just memes.
No.
Irony is fake. You know, ironic racism and bigotry is still bigotry and racism. There was this silly little ShareZone meme that I retweeted because they retweeted it. It was like, I just learned that irony is fake. That ironic racism and bigotry is still racism and bigotry, and now you know too, and they're the ShareZone style.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as individuals, we do need to step up more and say, you know, this is not cool. And so it's good that we do have people in the community, like, obviously, we're talking, we're speaking out here. You've got the folks that do, like, Barking Points and the other people like Dio and Tanya Song and other folks that do, are out there being the big ol' SJWs when they're basically just being like, hey, Nazi first, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like Pepper being willing to get into it, people.
Yep.
And you, the listener, can be that too. You know, basically don't let these fuckers continue to poison the well with this both sides nonsense, because there is no both sides. There is people that just want to be fucking left alone and live their queer ass life, and then you have the people that think that this massacre is totally cool and for the lulz. And is that really absolutism? I don't think so. You know people by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The tree by their fruit.
And, and
better be fruit than religious nuts. That's an old pithy Christian saying. God wants good fruit, not religious nuts.
Oh, okay. Right.
So, again, that's just me on my fucking soapbox. Because it was such a fucking horrifying thing to hear last night.
Mm-hmm.
It just sucked all the air out of the room, and it left me feeling really bad because I was trying to edit the show, and then when the audio started getting fucked up, I was like, you know, I'm fine with this. I'll see if I can re-record, and here we are.
Yeah.
But it just sucked all the air out of the room because it was such a shocking, what fresh horror did the fresh horror device bring us? Oh, it's New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also be interesting to see what New Zealand as a country does, because apparently they're pretty open and free with their guns, and I bet that will change real hard and real fast, similar to what Australia did.
It'll
be interesting to see how that rolls out. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. So Fiesta's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Fiesta is in 2 weeks.
Sorry, I thought we needed a topic
change. Yeah, we need a topic change. Fiesta's 2 weeks. I got my panels more or less nailed down, making my PowerPoints.
Still working on installing and updating everything to your systems.
I got all my games installed on my PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get the other two PlayStation 4s out of inventory and make them all up to date, because they are 8 months or so out of date by now.
Right. Yeah.
Which just means like 3 or 4 layers of system updates, plus then the installation of Street Fighter and Injustice and whatever else, and making sure that my buyer has purchased the right licenses for the character DLC and whatnot. Because now, for Dragon Ball FighterZ, there's 2 season passes that you have to buy that totals like $54.
Ah, jeez,
they got the first 8 characters, and now they've released at least 2 more characters in the season 2 pass or whatever. So I was like, god damn. I dropped $120 just for like season pass DLC, so that we have all the characters for Street Fighter V, DBZ, and Soul Calibur 6. But also, apparently there's a Season 4 of Street Fighter 5, so now this is a character that I don't have. And I'm like, can I buy this guy directly, or do I have to fucking grind out fight money? Do I have to, like, play this game to get this character? I'm gonna be mad if I have to. I prefer having to be able to grind to unlock, sure, but 100,000 fight money in that game apparently takes an extremely long amount of time.
Mm.
And in the meantime, you can't play for that character. Soul Calibur, it's fun. You can make a ridiculously skimpily dressed funny girl.
That's nice.
Or big buff dude. You can make like an elf or a fairy or werewolf looking dude. Like, there's actually a lot of like Lizard Man. You can make a lot of different characters in the creative character mode, which I think people will have fun with.
Mm.
If that does get a lot of play at the con. But yeah, it's just, it's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yep. We just placed the order for the con book.
Yep. Sell 5 billion copies of it. My parents are working hard making their product for it.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing okay. My parents just celebrated their 40th anniversary. Went out there yesterday, had lunch with them, mowed their yard.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's in like final prep mode. Gotta get ready for Fiesta.
Yeah.
You got, it's all the last second little things that pop up at conventions, you know, it's crunch time. But I, at least in my department, don't have that much to worry about.
Mm-hmm. I gotta do an inventory this weekend, and we need to place an order pretty soon.
Yeah. You know, my parents are making their jewelry. I've got my stuff more or less done. I got to make a couple PowerPoints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finish up PowerPoints. And, like, I've worked, like, for the Your First Con panel. I'm actually pretty happy with how I've constructed it, because there's, like, there's the basic information. Like, make sure you wear your badge. Make sure you have your, you familiarize yourself with our code of conduct. It's in the app. You should totally download the app.
Mm-hmm.
Then like 61 general convention etiquette, and then like cosplay etiquette, fursuit etiquette, and then getting around the town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the closest Walmart? What's the closest Target? What's the closest Michaels? With like some Google Maps images and whatnot.
Oh, okay, that'll be really handy.
To be informative, yeah. And like talking about like, hey, make sure that you eat food, and there are food trucks. Like pointing that out in the 61 section.
Right. Yeah.
Axe is not a shower. Is this?
Right.
The shower portion. So it should be good. And again, I run it by Kitsana, and she's like, okay, that sounds good. Then the little 30-minute, like, free video game characters, yay! Panel that I just put out kind of on a whim, and they somehow accepted it, so I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, this could be fun. And then I forgot about it until I got the acceptance, and I was like,
oh no.
I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Fiesta soon. The world's a fuck. Be nice to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what the best you can do right now. I'm just like, hey, don't be a dick online to people.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like it's really hard for some folks.
Yeah.
You know, support the people that are hurt and upset, and don't be, like, needlessly antagonistic to people talking about their shit, unless they're being dicks.
Just don't be a dick. God, it is not that hard, really.
It's like, you don't have to have a hot take or reply to everything.
Yeah.
It's sometimes good to disengage and take a break from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially right now. Very, very heated for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
You gotta manage that shit. And that's why social media is a hellscape.
Mm-hmm.
Really. You know, it's bad for your brain, bad for your emotional health. Here we are.
It stinks. It's bad for your body.
Yeah. Bad for your soul. What else?
I think that's about it. Yeah. I've been reading a crime book. Author is Jeff Noon.
Uh-huh.
This is his first actual like crime detective book. Previously, he'd written Vert. He'd written Man of Shadows, The Body Library, Pollen. Like, he started in the 90s with some kind of weird cyberpunk sort of stuff, but this is like, so far, pretty straightforward detective crime drama, which I'm really digging, because I've realized I kind of like this genre, and I like this author anyway. So I'll wait to see if there's like a sudden twist at the end where it's like something supernatural all along. But so far, no. So far, it's pretty straight up. So that's what I'm reading. I'm enjoying that. Then I got to read other stuff to try to mix up personal reading with For Planet acquired reading.
I've been working my way through Hollow Knight on stream. I'm so far fairly deep in that game. It's a 2D Souls-like Metroidvania, which means nothing to you, Fuzz.
Nope.
But I'm a cute little bug person running around murdering horrific looking bug monsters. And there's story and lore, but there's very little direction on where you should go next, so I've spent a lot of time trying, just wandering around and going into the wrong area and getting murdered, stuff like that. But now I've got a, more or less a plan of where to go. I found a walkthrough and said, you know what? Blindly playing my way through a Souls-like is a bad idea, because you'll just get deep in an area that you fought hard to get to and not have an item you need to proceed. And you're like, God damn it. So that's been fun. It's streaming, yay. You know, twitch.tv/Saverin, finnick.top.
The other thing I've been checking out today that I think just dropped is a Netflix original show called Love, Death, and Robots. It's an animated series, but it doesn't always look animated. So I don't know if like some of it's, it says it's animated, but, it says, but some of it seems live action with animated touches. It's 18 things. It's a collection of shorts. Funny enough, one of them was written by John Scalzi. So that's kind of cool. I've watched three of them so far, and I've really enjoyed it. It's like a weird cyberpunky kind of techno thing. I'm going to show some to Saverin here after we're done recording. So I think that is definitely worth checking out. Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix.
Cool. And also, I'd say that the Sabrina show on Netflix is pretty cool. I don't like that game, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Very satanic. It's certainly not the Sabrina the Teenage Witch show that was on TGIF with the animatronic Salem.
Right.
There is a vast difference between the two.
Yeah.
But that's been okay. And also, I'm out of Great British Baking Show now. I've watched all the seasons that are up on Netflix.
Oh, no.
Including the beginnings 2012 season with the extremely cute old man named Brendan, who is a queer Buddhist.
Hmm.
They keep that kind of that last little bit on the DL the entire time. He's just this very nice, quiet old British man, and I'm like, I really like him. I hope he's not like a evangelical prison warden or something like that. They're like, no, he's not. He's this nice, quiet old queer man. Aw. So that's really cute.
Cool.
And yeah, that's gonna wrap it up. We should probably go. So you can find us on twitter.com/southpaws. You can send us emails, southpawscast@gmail.com.
patreon.com/southpawscast if you want to support the show. You can find me on Twitter @fuzzwolf. I'm not super active lately, but I still tweet quite a bit. I am brought to you by forplanet.com, so go and buy some books. If ebooks are more your speed, go to baddogbooks.com. Anything else, Saverin?
You can find me on twitter.com until I get banned. Saverin Drake. You can find me on Twitch @Saverin. You can find me on Snout Online on Mastodon @Saverin.
Woo!
And where I retweet a lot of stuff and post pictures of my dog.
Yay!
I had a very cute picture of Adam last night. He had had his rope bone with him and he was carrying it around like a favorite toy. And like when I woke up this morning, he was curled up next to me with his bone like nestled in his curl next to me. So it was like me, bone, dog. He's like protecting the bone while also snuggled up against me. It was very cute.
Cute.
So let's wrap it up on that note. Good night.
And big books.